Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. A lot of fun last night. I tell you, I've been doing this for about 30 years now. And I tell you, it's been enjoyable covering this group of kids the last couple of years with Sherrard Tiger football. And I said they're going to get one, and they're going to get a couple, they're going to get three. And, Coach, you started with getting one last night. Congratulations, Scott Munson. I told you on the post game, I'm happy for those kids, man, to play. I'm really happy for them.
Well, Jim, thank you. We appreciate your coverage and everything that you guys do. It's wonderful, and the kids really appreciate it. And it wasn't until I got home that I saw the selfie that you took on the bus. So that was awesome. And the kids, I really got a kick out of that. So thank you for everything.
Yeah, so I'm just curious, what did you kind of hear last night after the game and had a chance to let it sink in and kind of, you don't have to tell us what some of the private messages were, but I'm just curious, kind of what were the different things that you heard from, you know, people maybe around your school district, other associates, the coach, things of that nature. What was it like on your phone last night?
Well, it was fun. It was we heard from a lot of people that coached with Coach Elder, Coach Stromquist, all sent texts. Of course, Hutton sent me a couple different ones. I got some from Barry Jackson and so Coach Jones. So it was great to hear from just kind of the football network that you develop, I guess, and all those guys have been real supportive throughout this thing. And I tell you, my phone was buzzing as I was walking up to the up to talk to you. So they were must have been listening to
yeah.
it. So that's always fun.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
I got one this morning from Jeremiah out in Colorado. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really great, man. Amen, brother. About kind of what the I don't call it a fraternity or what you want to call it with coaching sports and being involved in interscholastic athletics. And I know. I saw what Coach Hutton on their social media page on the Sherrard Tiger basketball program, kind of what he said last night. Can you share, I guess, maybe some of the common themes of what you said to the kids last night after the game?
Well, we've talked a little bit about this before, and they have been a running kind of. Sorry, I get kind of emotional.
Yeah.
They're kind of a running butt of a joke, you know. When I think of everything that they do in the off season and the time they put in, and then they've got to deal with it all. It's really upsetting. So I'm just
you're. Not only are you breaking up, but your phone is kind of breaking up. But I get that, and we've talked about it all, you know, for many times that, you know, it's one thing to be involved in a program that is on the right track in terms of has the tradition of winning, and it's kind of easy to carry that on because of the people and the buy-in that you have over the years. But once you are losing, in terms of trying to get the buy-in from the equation. And one of the key elements of the equation is you need the calendar a little bit to do that. I mean, it just doesn't happen overnight. I mean, it takes a while, and it takes the investment. The investment has to occur over a long time, too. And it's just so tough to get it turned around. And I guess that's why for me, and you talked about the emotions of the kids last night, of the kids that stuck it out, that are sticking it out and showing up at practice. And you said being the butt of jokes. I mean, let's be honest about what it's about in the society, how tough it is to overcome that type of stuff and say, I still want to be a part of the band here, despite being the butt of jokes. That tells me a lot about those kids that say, I'm going to put this uniform on Friday night. Yeah, we might be overmatched on four or five of the nine weekends we play. There's not a lot of us. It's probably not fun going to practice every day when you deal with some of the stuff at school, but they still do it. So that means a lot to me.
Absolutely. And And the, you know, like I said before the game last night, we were talking about the state of football, and Coach Nichols was just a common issue of numbers around the country, really, I suppose. There's always going to be those that want to play and are willing to do whatever it takes, and we're fortunate enough to have a good core of those Dukes. And I say to them all the time, and I don't think they believe me all the time, but hey, I'll take you guys over some bigger, faster, perhaps more talented ones that aren't invested. I'll take you guys any day of the week.
And just in terms of the game last night, an impressive drive right off the bat, hung on to the ball for 8 minutes. I think it was a 67-yard drive. You overcome two penalties in the red zone, score on a 4th and 11, go up 7-0. They come back on a big play in the second quarter, 7-7. But you're able to get a string together a 62-yard drive late in that second, 43-yard touchdown run by Carson Caldwell, makes it 13-7. Just kind of quickly recapping the game. I don't know if that was an onside kick right off the bat, but a short kick in the third quarter gives them the ball at the 50. They go on a 50-yard drive, 13-13, but then Sherrard able to string together a 67-yard drive. Big 3rd and 8 play, Corbin Crippen, his second touchdown pass, makes it 20-13 with the all-important PAT, which proved to be the difference that Emily Teal made. They come back and pull within 20-19 on a 55-yard drive, but you hang on 20-19. So that sums up the game. And I told you last night, when you're just trying to get to the finish line and get to the victory, there's so many things that maybe you remember about the game, but you also forget about the game. So it's in the end, it's a win. So just kind of sum up the game last night from your perspective.
You know, there's a couple key things there. That fourth down that we went for at midfield, you know, Nick looked at me, I looked at him, and I said, you know, let's go. And if we were 4-1 or 5-1, I don't know if I would have gone for that, but I said what I always said: if you've got to play, and he goes, yeah, or you got to play your confidence. He said, yeah. I go, let's do it, and we converted that, and then the touchdown also. The start to halftime, that was an onside kick, just because we aren't going to kick the number 7. He housed one last week. And he returned, had two long punt returns. He wasn't going to touch the ball, and so it was going to be a difference of 10 yards. And Emily's just been gold, I tell you. We could have, that's kind of one of those woulda, coulda, shouldas. We could have certainly had that one. It wasn't a perfect onside kick as well as she had last week, but it was nicely placed, and we just kind of ran past the ball and had an opportunity to get that one. And then, you know, late in the game and where they were just kind of chucking the ball up there, you know, they had a couple jump balls that they got, and then I thought we had a couple that we played really well, and at the end there, I had someone say to me, I just felt like, you know, we were going to lose this thing, and something bad was going to happen, and I said, oddly enough, I felt pretty good about it. I felt real good about where we were, because I felt they had made their plays. And I didn't really sense that they had another one left in them. And I thought we had responded, taken their shots. Obviously, we had some breakdowns on defense. You know, you're giving up some long carries like that. We have some kids with missed assignments and missed tackles. But at the end there, I was feeling pretty good about where we were, because I thought we had responded well to the big shots that they were taking.
Well, and I thought, too, really, in the last half of the fourth quarter, I thought the defense came through and made some big plays. And they, you know, you talk about that drive that where they had the 55-yard drive. Your field position at that time was 4th and 1, I think, right near the 45 of Kiwani late in the third quarter. And I thought, hey, that's a great opportunity to kind of move, because you were having success running the ball with Caldwell, with, you know, the option you were running, or getting to the edge, or even him turning it back inside, because he had a huge night last night. And the onside kick was up for grabs. I mean, I think Sherrard almost had a better chance to get that ball than Kiwani, but somehow on the deflection out of bounds, Kiwani maintains possession there. And I know you mentioned Coach Nichols, the coach of Kewaunee, a Macomb kid, has been there 6 years coaching. It was interesting when I was talking to him about them dealing with numbers, and then he said, well, I know Shavard's dealing with numbers, and then he paused, and he said, well, like everybody's we play, basically, is dealing with numbers, maybe other than, like, Newman. And it's apparent, it's pretty easy to see that when you cover games in the area, really over the last 5 to 10 years, you just kind of see the numbers. And I was talking to a coach from Central Illinois this week about kind of they're dealing with the same issue, and I said, it's coaches want to get 50 now. I mean, that's the number. If you can get 50, and that doesn't seem like a lot in football, and it's not when you go back to the 80s and early 90s. And I'm talking about programs that are 3A, 4A schools are like, man, we get 50. We feel pretty good. And it was funny. He said the safety of the game, it keeps becoming safer and safer and safer, yet it's having the inverse effect that there's still less and less and less kids playing. And I think he I'd have to cue up the tape and listen to it again. But he said, and I thought it was so funny, he goes, I think maybe we fall on the ground once during practice, if that, during the week. So in terms of basically the only day you're really getting any contact is when you play on Friday nights. And I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know what the situation is, but I kind of laughed when he said, yeah, I think we fall on the ground maybe one day. But basically contact is almost non-existent now for the 4 days of practice leading up to Friday, and that still is so strange to me. And it's strange to me that even with all of that taking place, numbers still decline. Long story short, I guess I don't know how you fix that, how you turn that around, how you reverse that, and maybe you just don't. I don't know, but I'm at a loss sometimes, especially when I laughed kind of when he said, yeah, we fall on the ground maybe once during the week, if that.
I think it's good to hear other coaches say that, because we haven't tackled since, I don't know if it was week two or week three, because Jeremy Bowling got hurt in practice on a tackle, and we haven't tackled since then. So, yeah, it's thud. It's basically live at the line, but nobody goes to the ground, and if anybody trips over somebody else, you got five coaches yelling, stay up. So... it is a different world than they just beat the snot out of each other on Tuesday and Wednesday and try to regroup Tuesday to do it again on Friday.
All right, Coach. Well, nice going last night, and have a home game next week with the Reprofistown coming to town. A lot of fun last night, and we'll see you next Friday night over at Clifford King Field.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Tigers win it to 20-19. We'll wrap it up on the WRMJ Sports Line right after this.